Hey, this is Adam Sorensen, politics producer for Time.com. Welcome back to The Call, a weekly conversation with Time's political reporters on what they've been working on and the latest from Washington. Joining me this week are Michael Scherer, Time's White House correspondent, and Jaden Small, our congressional correspondent.
Okay, Adam, what are we talking about?
Well, first of all, we should talk about your cover piece, because it was awesome.
Thank you.
And it's very pertinent right now, with financial reform looking like it may wrap up soon. What's the next step for Sheila Bair, Mary Shapiro, and Elizabeth Warren? What is this, the new reform, if it goes through, how much does it empower them? And over the next 5 years, what does it really mean for them?
Well, each woman's a little different, so in different ways. But yeah, it's big for all three if you define the women as the agencies they're representing. Obviously, for Warren, the Consumer Financial Protection Agency is sort of her baby, and it's a whole new thing. And it's a thing that the Chamber of Commerce 4 or 5 months ago said we will spend whatever it takes to defeat, and it looks like it's very close to passing in a pretty strong form. We don't know entirely how it will pass, but that's obviously a big win. I don't know if she'll come down to take it over, but if it succeeds like she wants it to succeed and the Obama administration wants it to succeed, it could mean some pretty dramatic changes to how all of us do our banking and get car loans and get home loans and all that stuff. For Sheila Bair, she's planning to leave her agency next summer, but the FDIC would be empowered. It would be part of this sort of panel of super regulators who looks for systemic risk and then takes apart systemically dangerous financial companies, whether they're banks or insurance companies or hedge funds or whatever. And FDIC would be empowered to be the take apart agency. Her agency, like she does now with banks, would resolve these companies. Like if a new AIG comes along and the regulators decide to take it apart, they would hand it over to the FDIC, and the FDIC would sell its parts and try and protect depositors and creditors. SEC will gain, especially if the derivatives legislation goes through as currently written, significant powers to do what SEC is supposed to do, which is essentially, you know, keep an eye out for the common everyday investor and make sure that there are not insider ways for the big banks to profit on their advanced knowledge of things, things like that.
Jay or Michael, you can both answer this probably. What's the time frame looking like for financial reform moving forward?
It looks like it'll be hopefully mid-week this week, if not the end. I mean, hopefully not by the end of the week. They're aiming for a sort of Wednesday passage. But again, this may slip since we still have yet to get a manager's amendment from Dodd and Shelby, which is sort of the big holdup right now. And they're, meanwhile, chewing their way through all these amendments, waiting for the big manager's amendment. But once that comes, you know, I think it's at this point, although our colleague Michael Grunwald wrote a story today about how he thinks it could still fail, I think, frankly, it's at this point a sort of, you know, it'll either pass a sort of mid-60s level of votes or even could be as popular as an 80-20 vote. So, I mean, they're getting a lot of Republicans on board with this, especially if Shelby gets on board.
The politics and the policy have changed a lot since the House passed their version of the bill. The White House came out in favor of much stronger regulations. The Volcker Rule came in. There have been a lot of robust amendments put in the Senate. Is this just going to be another clone of healthcare where the Senate bill basically just goes through the House? Or is the conference report really going to change the face of the legislation?
I don't think the Senate bill could just go through the House. I think the House has, you know, you need to bring it back to the left on certain issues, and I think it's going to have to change significantly. I mean, the House is not one to take the Senate bill. You saw how painfully they passed the Senate health care bill with all kinds of changes and reconciliation. That was hard for them to do. Pelosi knows her caucus, and she knows that she's going to have to get some pretty big concessions for the progressives. Otherwise, they're not going to like this bill too much.
And on derivatives, for example, there's going to be a big fight because the banks want to make a stand in conference, and some of the conferees in the House actually prefer the Senate language, or seem to prefer the Senate language. So there could be, you know, some real action there.
Real interesting races next week, totally shifting gears here, with Blanche Lincoln facing a primary challenge from Bill Holter in Arkansas and Arlen Specter going up against Joe Sestak in Pennsylvania. Have the races really changed in this last week here?
I think they're still too close to call, though. I think Lincoln's never once, sort of trailed in the polls, so she seems pretty much more solid than Specter, who's been trailing Sestak in the polls slightly in the last couple of weeks. But, I think it's fascinating here, because up until now, we've all been so focused on, Bob Bennett in Utah and Rand Paul in Kentucky and the idea of, and Charlie Crist in Florida and the idea of sort of the Tea Party fratricide that's going on within the Republican Party, that we haven't really noticed that there's this other civil war going on inside the Democratic Party. You've got Bill Halter, like you said, in Arkansas challenging Blanche Lincoln. You've got, Sestak challenging Specter. And then even in the Hawaii race, you've got Steve Case and Colleen Hanubasa just killing each other and essentially handing that seat to a Republican for the first time in more than 30 years. And so there's an interesting kind of civil war going on both sides. And I think this week will be fascinating to see how it plays out.
Jay, I'm curious. It seems to me one big difference between the Arkansas race and the Pennsylvania race is that the unions have gone all in for Halter in Arkansas and are spending millions of dollars on him. And Specter, his party switch just completely convinced all the establishment to try to protect him. SEIU is sending out mail for him. What's the reason for that difference?
Well, I mean, Specter was the guy that, you courted him, and he was the sort of the prom queen that everyone wanted to take to the prom who then never put out. He's in a really tough race. Like, Obama, is supporting him, but look, it's not like the president's going to go to Pennsylvania at this point and campaign for him because it looks like he's going to lose. And that was part of the deal in order to get Specter to switch parties, that you had to get the establishment behind him, otherwise he wasn't going to switch. But I don't know that except for sort of 6 months with a 60-vote majority, which, frankly, it was never really a 60-vote majority. They always had so many problems getting to 60 votes that it did them more damage than good. I don't know what good he's been to the Democratic Party. And I think there has been a certain wink and a nod to Sestak people, that to sort of let people go. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they're doing a full-court press the way that they are with Blanche Lincoln. With Blanche Lincoln, it's interesting because, with the unions are really going all in with her, and like they are just spending millions and millions and millions of dollars trying to get her out. And I don't know that it's a very good bet, frankly. It's a bizarre thing for unions to do, going against the Democratic establishment, against Democratic president, shows their dissatisfaction with the Democrats because they're pissed that the Employee Free Choice Act hasn't been passed. And, they feel that their agenda has been neglected by this president, but it's still a weird way to take it out. She just got to the ranking, got the chairmanship of the Agriculture Committee. But she's an odd sort of target for them.
It's weird to run to the left of anybody, especially if you have a Democrat already in Arkansas.
Yeah, exactly. And Arkansas has never been that pro-union. It's the home of Bill Clinton, It's just one of those states where it's just not ever been that pro-union, and by taking out a Democrat there, you're not really helping yourself, and it's not like Bill Halter is going to suddenly organize the state and unionize the state. It's just not going to happen.
Okay, well, thank you guys for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
For more political news and analysis, head over to time.com/politics. Once again, I'm Adam Sorensen, and this is The Call. Tune in next week.